Breaking news tonight. A massive wave of cyber attacks hits major websites and internet services like Twitter, Netflix, and Amazon. Outages affecting consumers across the country. Tonight, the FBI trying to find out who's behind it. Punches and punchlines. New attacks from Donald Trump after being booed on stage as he came face to face with Hillary Clinton. And as Trump decries a so-called rigged system, brand new numbers about how many voters might not accept the outcome. Screen time. What's the right amount for modern kids? All those devices always connected. Tonight, doctors throwing out the book on what we've been told about kids in the digital era. Unsung heroes, an amazing friendship between a college student and a campus janitor, breaking down walls and making dreams come true. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. A major attack on the internet is underway. At this hour, the FBI and Homeland Security are urgently trying to find out who's behind the day-long series of intrusions targeting a company that acts as a kind of internet switchboard. The attack cutting off access to countless websites, from social media and news sites to music and payment services, and preventing routine transactions. The intermittent outages began this morning primarily on the East Coast, but follow-up attacks have been felt across the country. It all comes amid heightened anxieties over cyber attacks leading up to the U.S. election. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has late details for us.
The powerful and sophisticated cyber attacks coming wave after wave. Internet users in at least six countries, but mostly here in the U.S., unable to load popular websites like Twitter, Netflix, Amazon, PayPal, and a long list of others.
What we know is that a cyber criminal group or a group of people created the opportunity where they had web traffic and they funneled all of that traffic at a particular company, DYN.
The attack was aimed at Dyn, a tech company based in New Hampshire that serves as an internet switchboard and allows people to connect to websites. It crippled DNS, or domain name servers, the so-called address book for the internet, essentially overloading it. The hack will cost major corporations dearly. It's too early to tell who's responsible. Some say, based on the methods and magnitude of the attack, it may be Russian in origin. But one senior U.S. intelligence official and other cyber experts tell NBC News this is a classic case of internet vandalism and likely not state-sponsored.
There are a host of adversaries that can launch these types of attacks, and we've got to make sure that we have a resilient network that is able to withstand these types of probes.
With the largest outage in the Northeast, a second wave spread west. Tens of millions couldn't check their banking accounts or log on to local news. In Los Angeles, Epic Interactive sent employees home. With PayPal and Twitter down, nobody could work.
I think we should be concerned because, you know, it's one thing when there's an attack. It's another thing when for an entire day goes by and it seems like the company involved can't fix it.
With Dyn saying it is fighting multiple, very well-planned attacks, the case of cyber warfare comes just before our election. Tonight, experts say we are in uncharted territory.
While this attack did not target individuals, it brought down websites temporarily that millions of us use every day. It appears no critical personal or financial information was lost, but it shows how vulnerable servers can be. And experts say every time security firms make a fix, thieves find another way in. Lester.
Miguel Almaguer tonight, thank you. And joining us now is NBC News cybersecurity analyst Sean Henry. You just saw him in Miguel's story. He's president and chief security officer of CrowdStrike. Sean, no indications where this is coming from or what it could be related to, but with our election just over 2 weeks away, would there be anything to prevent an attack like this on November 8th or any day to potentially disrupt the flow of information?
Well, Lester, this appears to be a very complex botnet made up of hundreds of thousands or even millions of computers. Attackers that have used home appliances and devices like IP-connected cameras, security cameras. It's very difficult to detect these types of attacks, and an attacker with this type of powerful weapon could certainly use it. As it relates to our election process, I think the distributed nature of our system doesn't render that specifically susceptible. But attackers will continue to use this device inevitably or until they're detected and stopped or the botnet itself can be disrupted. Lester.
All right. Sean Henry, thank you very much. Now to the campaign trail. New attacks being launched tonight on both sides. A new fallout after an uncomfortable scene here in New York last night where Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton shared the stage and traded barbs, barely concealed by comedy. And tonight, as Trump continues to push his message about a so-called rigged system, we have new numbers that show how that's resonating with his supporters. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Hallie Jackson. Hallie, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. At that event you referenced, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton shared a prayer, a polite pause, a short one in the attacks. Now, critics are questioning Trump's overall strategy as, with just over 2 weeks to go, he's promising an all-out push. A battleground blitz for Donald Trump today with new, reflective, real talk.
Win, lose, or draw, and I'm almost sure if the people come out, we're going to win. But I will be happy with myself.
His comments capping a 24-hour stretch in which many see a series of strategic mistakes, like bringing Michelle Obama into the mix, as he did today.
We have a president, all he wants to do is campaign. His wife, all she wants to do is campaign.
But the first lady's the most popular political figure in the country, potentially risky for Trump to take her on. And he's still talking about a rigged system. Our new NBC News SurveyMonkey online tracking poll also shows more than 4 in 10 Republicans do side with Trump and may not accept the results of this election.
I imagine that on certain issues, if he's elected, you're going to have a congressional Republicans who are going to be pushing the country potentially in a different direction than a Republican president.
And for Trump, what many see as another misstep at a political roast in New York, where his rival landed some punches with her punchlines.
It is great also to see Mayor Bloomberg here. It's a shame he's not speaking tonight. I'm curious to hear what a billionaire has to say.
And while not everybody laughed, it was Trump who struggled more, despite starting strong.
Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case.
A few lines later, much more partisan.
Hillary is so corrupt.
The booing, unprecedented at this usually civil charity dinner.
He's not behaving in a way that suggests that he is even trying to win the election. Beautiful. He's doing everything the opposite of what I think any seasoned strategist would recommend he do.
Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Newtown, Pennsylvania.
I'm Kristen Welker in Cleveland, where early voting is already underway. Tonight, Hillary Clinton rallying the base.
I have now spent 4.5 hours on stage with Donald, proving once again I have the stamina to be president.
And going after Trump's comments about a rigged election.
He is threatening our democracy.
A new poll showing Ohio is a jump ball. Clinton and Donald Trump tied. But good news for Clinton in our new NBC News analysis. More Democrats have voted so far in Ohio than Republicans. Campaign sources tell NBC News Clinton is not just thinking about Election Day, but beyond. Laying the groundwork for leading a divided country if she wins, like reaching out to her opponent in a private moment last night.
She said to him, and Donald, whatever happens, we need to work together afterwards.
And Clinton increasing her outreach to Republicans and independents, too. This new ad featuring Kaiser Khan, a Clinton supporter and Muslim Gold Star father, once again going after Trump. And Joe Biden taking new shots, too.
Oh, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym.
Right now, she's a basketball team going into the four corners, just not making any mistakes, just killing time, run the clock out.
But tonight, more fallout from those stolen emails from her campaign chairman, not authenticated by NBC News. A new email showing Clinton's top aides disagreed with her push to hold a Clinton Global Initiative meeting in Morocco in return for a $12 million pledge from the Moroccan government. Top aide Huma Abedin writing, "She created this mess and she knows it." Trump pouncing.
She tried to get $12 million from the King of Morocco for an appearance. More pay for play.
tonight. The Clinton campaign saying ultimately Clinton decided not to attend that meeting, and they're accusing Russia of weaponizing WikiLeaks. Meanwhile, Clinton is getting ready for a major swing through battleground states from now until Election Day. Lester.
Kristen Welker, thank you. Let's turn overseas now, where Iraqi forces say they're within 4 miles of Mosul. The mission to drive ISIS out of the city, but ISIS is fighting back, launching a deadly counterattack in another city over 100 miles away. Our Richard Engel is on the front lines inside Iraq with a look at the American role in the offensive.
American jets launching in the Mediterranean from the USS Eisenhower. They're headed for Mosul to attack ISIS. But once they get to Mosul, the mission is extremely difficult. Finding ISIS fighters among the some 1 million civilians.
It's a bustling city, just like a city that we would have back home. It just so happens that the city is run by ISIS.
And this is not just a ground war. For the first time today, we saw American soldiers in full combat gear clearing a bomb, one of the most dangerous jobs in a war zone. It's the same job 34-year-old Chief Petty Officer Jason Finian had. He was killed yesterday near Mosul when an IED went off by his vehicle. The president said this wouldn't be an American ground war, and Iraqis are doing the bulk of the fighting. We traveled with them to one of their forward positions east of Mosul.
The closer Iraqi troops get to the center of Mosul, the harder ISIS has been fighting back. There's been fighting in this frontline village today. ISIS has been using mortars and snipers and car bombs like this one.
As a vehicle approached the soldiers, they drew down on the driver and shouted for him to identify himself. It turned out he was one of their own. ISIS may be losing ground around Mosul, but today the militants hit back with coordinated attacks in the relatively far away city of Kirkuk. More than 20 people were killed.
This could be how ISIS plans to fight, digging in to protect its stronghold city of Mosul and key towns around it, while at the same time launching terrorist attacks on soft targets and civilians. Lester.
Richard Engel in Iraq tonight. Thank you. Back in this country this evening to the weather extremes hitting here in the Northeast. Flash floods triggered by heavy rains, downpours so many have been hoping for, with many areas hit hard by a terrible drought. But this was far too much rain too soon. We get details from NBC's Tammy Leitner.
In the Northeast, a much-needed soaking has turned fatal. Today, flash flooding in central Pennsylvania left at least one dead and nearly two dozen needing rescue. And in New York, a steady pounding from Mother Nature. But all this rain won't be enough to reverse a drought that has been building for months. Below normal precipitation has created the worst drought across the Northeast in more than a decade, conditions that could last through the winter. Just the latest part of the country to be hit with water shortages. In upstate New York, existing residential wells are dry, leaving some homeowners desperate.
Without the dug wells, they have no water source. So their only option is for us to come in and drill them a well.
In Connecticut, where 89% of the state is under severe drought conditions, an emergency pipeline is being built to pump in water. In Massachusetts, the situation is so serious, farmers are being forced to pick cranberries by hand.
We probably are down about 4 feet, so it's been difficult trying to harvest this year.
More than half of the Northeast is under some sort of drought, with areas in red here under an extreme drought. The good news is those are the two areas that will see the heaviest rain going into this weekend.
Water that may put a small dent in the problem, but won't be enough to quench this historic drought. Tammy Leitner, NBC News, New York.
Still ahead, some critical news you need to hear tonight if you're worried about how much time your children spend in front of electronic screens. Also, this might spark a lot of arguments at the dinner table tonight. Who has the worst road rage, men or women? We're back now with some brand new research and recommendations that will be of high interest to parents and grandparents worried about how much kids should be exposed to modern day electronic media, cell phones, laptops, tablets, and yes, TV. The American Academy of Pediatrics has new recommendations that relax some previous guidance to give families more flexibility while setting limits. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
Hello.
In Virginia this afternoon, 3-year-old Ari and 18-month-old Emery were FaceTiming grandma and grandpa, now considered good screen time.
Our family motto is kind of everything in moderation. You know, you want to have a well-rounded kid, and you can't keep them away from technology. You know, you can't keep it away from them.
For nearly 20 years, pediatricians have recommended no screen time for kids under two. But in a world inundated with cell phones, tablets, computers, and TVs, the Academy is adjusting some guidelines. For children under 18 months, video chatting is fine, but no other screen time.
If you want to start introducing media as young as 18 months, that's fine, but use it together with your child and choose really good media.
Here's why. Researchers at Lafayette College have found that starting at 17 months, children can start recognizing faces and learning over video chats.
Toddlers learn from meaningful interaction with people who are in social relationships with them.
For 2 to 5-year-olds, the Academy now recommends no more than an hour a day of screen time. Children 6 and older can have more, but they need an hour of exercise. Families should establish media-free time together, like dinner, and no devices within an hour before bed.
When kids consume media, even infants, late into the hours of the day, they have later sleep onset and they have fewer hours of sleep per night.
The bottom line, screen time should not be a babysitter. Used wisely, it can actually bring families together.
She's trying to give him a kiss.
Tom Costello, NBC News, Ashburn, Virginia.
We're back in a moment with a special guest star who crashed the White House briefing today.
If it's time to go beyond the election headlines, if it's a position that needs to be challenged, if it's a fact that's gotten lost in the spin,
if it's the countdown to November, and if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press.
There is major news tonight of a mega merger in the business world. Our partners at CNBC have confirmed that AT&T is in advanced talks to buy media and entertainment giant Time Warner, a blockbuster deal that would bring together AT&T's wireless broadband and satellite TV services with Time Warner properties like HBO, CNN, and the Warner Brothers movie studio. Who would you say gets angrier behind the wheel, men or women? According to a new study, women tend to get road rage worse than men. Using webcams and hand sensors, researchers found that on average, women were 12% angrier while driving. But hold on, pump the brakes, because a number of previous studies have pointed the finger overwhelmingly at men. The White House press corps got a surprise when a special guest star crashed the briefing room. Actor Bill Murray, decked out in Chicago Cubs gear, dropped in to talk baseball with reporters. Murray's Cubs are chasing their own Cinderella story this weekend. They're one win away from their first World Series since 1945. When we come back, how students are paying back the unsung heroes at one of America's most prestigious universities. Finally, tonight, a story about tearing down the invisible barriers that too often divide us. A student at Georgetown University extended the hand of friendship to one of the many workers who keep that esteemed school running. And that simple act started a movement that is inspiring America. Here's Rahama Ellis.
At Georgetown, a Jesuit university, learning is rooted in caring. Fevin Bellamy is taking it to heart.
I see the same worker. His name is O'Neill Batchelor. And I eventually sparked up a conversation with him. I said, hey, how you doing? Like, my name is Fevin. Shook his hand.
That handshake happened late at night while Fevin was studying in the library. O'Neill, the janitor, was cleaning up. They soon discovered they had a lot in common. Both are immigrants and both had big dreams.
My dream was to open a restaurant, and, you know, I love cooking, and, you know, I explained that to him. He supported it. He said, man, I'm going to do everything I can to help you.
And he did. Fevin started a Facebook page called Unsung Heroes, telling the stories of the workers who keep the university running.
I know there's like kind of a wall between the students and the workers sometimes, but I wanted to use this opportunity to kind of share his story with other students to see that they're human beings just like us. The only difference is the color of their uniform.
Fevin says students responded immediately, welcoming the chance to make new friends and even make an impact. They recently helped raise $2,500 for O'Neill to jumpstart his catering business.
He had to be over the moon with that.
Oh my, he was on the clouds.
So far, Unsung Heroes has profiled 20 campus workers, like Umberto Ripai, a dining hall cashier. Students raised more than $5,000 so he can visit family in South Sudan he hasn't seen in 45 years. Now, Fevin hopes the idea spreads beyond campus.
Imagine how much more can happen if we were to interact more on a day-to-day basis.
Confident, unsung heroes are everywhere, and so are people who care. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Washington.
And that's going to do it for us on a Friday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.